I'm Rick Moore, and this is Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, and by the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. All right, back now, and always great to be talking with comedian and educator Dave Ratigan. And Dave, here we are again. We're still vertical.
Yeah, we are. That's a good thing.
It is.
We can talk about opening up. We can talk about vaccines. And I wanted to talk. Thank you for having me on. Because here's something I've been trying to create a stir about this week, and we'll see if I'm successful. I have a Paycheck Protection Program, a PPP loan.
Mm-hmm.
And I figure if any of your listeners are business people, they might have gotten this loan last year, and they might have applied for the second round this year. They're basically for businesses that that shut down and want to protect their employees by staying open and continuing to operate. And this basically gives you, it basically loans you money back at a 1% rate, but they have said that they might be forgivable loans. And so that certainly for me, even though I only have one employee, me, and then I have a bunch of freelancers. The freelancers don't get anything out of it. They've got to get their own, help, but it was great. It was, really invaluable for me to get through last year to survive the year. And I applied for the second one. And what I found is that, if you've seen in the news, there's a backlog of IRS ballots. And if you look a little deeper, you'll see that the backlog, there's a backlog going back to last year for fiscal year 2019, but for the tax returns filed in 2020, I've heard 6.7. I've heard internally that seems a little, optimistic as a number. But 6.7 is a pretty big number to me. And, they say that 6.7 paper ballots for, I'm sorry, paper ballots. Sorry, 6.7. Paper tax filing.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if you mailed in your tax filing last year, there's an excellent chance that it has been received, your check has been cashed, and it hasn't been processed. And if that tax return is not processed, you will not get your PPP loan. I believe you also might not get your tax stimulus check.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody didn't get their tax stimulus check and they filed for 2019, they might not have gotten it last year or this year.
Okay.
If you filed it last year after they said that stimulus checks were going out, you would have got it. Like I got that. I got mine because I didn't file until July. But basically, if your 2019 taxes arrived, to the IRS office and you mailed it in, chances are it hasn't been processed. And the IRS, I mean, you know, they're under the gun. I mean, they're adding new, they've got new regulations. They've got the stimulus check program, and they've got this loan program, and they were shut down for 3 months last year, and the deadlines were extended. And then this year, the deadlines have been changed again. None of which is working for the, employee of the IRS. Nothing is working in his or her favor.
I hadn't heard anything until this week, and I'm glad you brought it up. And when you say 6.7, Dave, you're talking about 6.7 million files that have to be processed.
6.7 million I think this is one of those things where I've heard a couple of different numbers, which makes me think that, people are grabbing numbers. And I had heard 6.7 million, tax returns for 2019 tax returns, which of course were filed in 2020. And I heard from Senator Markey's office, that was actually the figure I got from Senator Markey's office. And what I heard from them is that the ones that will be taken care of first will be the ones where people are due refunds, which is, I get that. I have a friend who actually has a business, and, I think he didn't get a PPP. I think he just got unemployment. And he told me that he hasn't got his tax refund yet for 2019.
Wow!
So if you got a tax refund So those people will be taken care of first, the people getting refunds. Then they're going to go in order of, you know, when did they receive your tax filing. And in my, that's not good for me because I paid, you know, I made a payment and I filed on the last possible date in July 2020 because they extended the deadline. And I'm guessing that a lot of people who had businesses who had to give money to the government at the end of the year, they're in the same boat and they're waiting for their PPP. And as I said, it's not the IRS, I don't think. I think it's a decision made at either the top of the IRS or, as part of the legislation. And I just think it's a giant gaping mistake that nobody intended to make, an unintended consequence, something that might have sounded good on paper. You know, they want taxpayers in good standing. But it's going to take a program that helped a ton of people last year, and it's basically going to hurt them if they don't address it and they don't address it quickly. Because certainly in my case, I've got the teaching, so I've got that income protecting the income from what I don't teach this summer. I've lost half my income, and I know a lot of people have lost their entire income.
Yeah.
And this PPP loan for them and for their employees is important, and hopefully they get this rectified. And I'm just trying to, you know, I sent something to the Cape Ann Chamber. I haven't heard back from them. I sent something to the Beverly Chamber. I haven't heard back. Had sent something to the SBA, the IRS, the senators and the Congress, Congressman Moulton. And I'm the only one who's called me back so far has been Markey.
Mm-hmm.
Although it's a, you know, maybe it's a new development. And I think even when I talked to Markey's rep, I wasn't completely certain that she understood that I was talking about the PPP loans
and what about
tax refund.
What about some of these Boston investigative reporters? I can't think of the names, but I know there's one on Channel 7, there's one on Channel 5. What about them?
I sent something to their general newsrooms yesterday. I have heard Jim Browdy's reporter from Greater Boston. I'm sorry, not his reporter. Jim Browdy's somebody from Jim Browdy's show has contacted me, but just to say I'm going to contact you probably tomorrow. And that was, I mean, probably tomorrow. And that was 2 days ago. I haven't heard from him.
Mm-hmm.
I'll hear from him today.
Okay.
But I think a lot of people. I think it's a big issue. And it's funny because I saw that there was something relating to a deadline change that they worked out for to let the IRS catch up. But I'm not sure the IRS even, you know, I don't know how long it takes for the IRS to go through 6.7 million.
Right.
And I've heard higher, like I said before. I've heard that the number is higher. But I know they extended the tax filing deadline this year by a month for federal.
Yeah.
And, I hope somebody calls me today. Let's put it that way. And even if they don't call me, I hope they follow up. But I sent something to Sean Murphy, who's a Rockport person, as you know,
mm-hmm.
At the Globe, and hadn't heard back from him, although I don't know. Again, I don't know why. I sent something to the couple of editors that I know there from working there, and I sent something to talked to somebody from the Lawrence Eagle Tribune. I've talked to somebody from the trying to think of where else.
Well, do you know you know Paul Layton, don't you?
I do.
Well, give him a shoot him an email. He's been doing some great investigative work lately. He really has.
I'll send him something today.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I did think of him. I sent it to somebody else just because I had gotten a Facebook thing and I thought, oh, I'll send it to her. But I'll send it to Paul as well. And we'll see who bites.
There you go.
It's a sort of story. It's not that tough to write. I mean,
well, the thing is, and it affects local businesses. I mean, Paul covers, Beverly, for the Salem News,
yeah.
And he's been doing some great stuff. So who knows? You know, that's, you know, all in all, it's just, I've been thinking quite the opposite, Dave. So this is it's very unsettling to hear this because in my opinion, as I mentioned before we went on the air, I got my COVID shot. It turns out to be the one dose vaccine. Things are opening up. You know, the sun is coming out. And then I hear this, and it's, wow, that's disturbing.
And you know something? The response by the government, I think the government's been pretty responsive during this entire pandemic. the idea of getting the vaccine in a year, obviously, it's unprecedented, although we want to point out that they've done it in multiple countries. It wasn't just the United States, but the government has done a lot of things right during this pandemic, including the help that they've given small business. I don't know what other small businessmen would say about it, or in small business women, but they've been responsive to me, and so I think everything's intended to be right. I just think somewhere somebody put in a line to the legislation or somewhere in the implementation of it, there's a line, and it could simply be poor. It could be something with my person at the IRS maybe just has had the person that my SBA rep talked to at the IRS just didn't know, but I don't think so. I've talked to a few people at the IRS in the rank and file, and it seems like what they're saying is, we'll put you back on the, you send us your return again, we'll put you back on the pile. And e-filing, if you go back and e-file, by the way, that doesn't work. It's a long story, but it doesn't work. And I just think somebody at the top made a mistake in the wording, and all they've got to do is, it's a simple fix. They just go back to 2018. If you got a PPP last year, then we'll look at your 218 figures, the ones you were approved for last year, and we'll do it by the, we'll use those figures. Is that agreeable with you? And if you say it is, they give you the loan because they've got your figures on file. It should be easier, not harder. It should be quicker, not slower.
All right. Well, you're going to keep your eye on that, and you're going to let us know, I'm sure.
I'll keep banging the drum for as long as I can, and eventually I wind up living under a bridge.
You want a lot of other, but no. As you know, you got resources, and who knows? Maybe you just had to kick the can a little bit here to wake somebody up.
I hope so.
You're going to get some response. You'll get some positive response from this.
Yes,
I know you will.
I've got another one. So anyway, so you got the. When are you getting the vaccine?
Okay, here's the thing. I actually got the vaccine on Wednesday evening, St. Patrick's Day, and I became eligible. I'm over, way over 65, but not quite 75. And people in my age bracket, Dave, and this is a cultural thing. I think, in my opinion, obviously I didn't know about this IRS thing. I think this thing has moved remarkably well in a positive direction so quickly. And to mobilize and consider that you're going to vaccinate upwards of 250 to 300 million people, 1 year into the pandemic just messes with my head. And, here I am, waiting. I think I had to wait once I got registered. I think I had to wait like 9 days. Now, it may have taken a few weeks to get registered, but that's a few weeks, Dave, in a whole year. So I think it's remarkably fast.
I think that given the anxiety that we deal with, given the fact that if you were on the state, did you go to the state website to get vaccinated?
I tried that. It didn't work. No. Both. I belong to two healthcare, whatever they're called, organizations. I think it's Leahy and MGH, and it was MGH that got me the one dose vaccine. And I had to go to Union Hospital, whatever it's called over there in Lynn. So piece of cake.
What kind of a wreck does your body have to be in when you belong to two healthcare organizations?
I've got more, David. I have more doctors than I do friends.
Well, that's because they're all dying off because of your advanced age.
Yeah, that's right. That's true, too. But I never had that many to begin with. Hey, now, speaking of laughing, let's get with it, Dave. Really, the picture is the door's beginning to open, man. The sunshine is coming through.
Yes, it is. And it's, we've been doing open mics at in Salisbury at the Winter Circle, and I think they were supposed to do. We were outdoors, and then they moved us indoors. And I just thought they had gotten direction from their local board of health. And then the ABCC came in, the Alcoholic Beverage Commission, and they came in and they said, "Oh, you can't do this." And so we shut down. And now we've reopened again, which is great. It's all socially distanced. Everybody's pushed away from the stage, pushed away from each other. Blah blah blah. But it's nice to be back, and I think it'll be interesting to see how we reopen. I know restaurants have got to get staffing. You know, they've got to go back to staffing, and some people don't, you know, they don't want to come back. They don't want to be in an environment where they, where they're taking risks. The more people are vaccinated, I think the more willingness there'll be to do that. And singing is still not allowed. In fact, I just started kind of a new venture. American Theater Cooperative is what I call it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing an event. And, locally, the, Larkham Theater is involved in Beverly. But we're doing it through the Kituit Center for the Arts on Cape Cod in Barnstable. And what we're doing is we're doing a Beatles event with a band called Studio 2, which has got North Shore connections,
mm-hmm,
in Middleton. And the Studio 2, which is an early Beatles tribute band, really, really good. And they're going to do a tribute based on kind of a celebration, let's say, of the movie Hard Day's Night.
Mm-hmm.
March 31, what, 64, I think it was when they shot that climatic concert scene at the end of Hard Day's Night. I assume you've seen Hard Day's Night. But maybe not. But at the it's a day. Hard Day's Night is a day in the life of the Beatles, was the kind of the crux of it. And it was about, you know, will they get to the concert on time? Will they do the concert? And at the end, they do the concert. They do all these great Beatles songs, and it's really a great movie. And it's held up really well over the years. This isn't not necessarily going to be the exact same. This is not going to be, you know, they're not going to pretend it's the movie. They're not going to do piped in Beatles screaming. They're not going to do any of that stuff, but they're going to do all of the songs from that era and all the songs from that scene and some others and some others. And we're doing it as a virtual event.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're basically promoting it through multiple theaters, similar to what we did on New Year's Eve. And all the theaters will kind of share and, you know, make a little bit of money, and the artists will be paid, and Kituit will be paid, and hopefully we'll get a larger crowd as a result of sharing. I think they're doing that with a lot of the larger theaters.
Good.
Around the country. And but it's a virtual event, and people can go to the Larkham Theater website, Larkham Theater Facebook page, or artsonthecape.com. I'm sorry, artsonthecape.org, or studio2.com.
Okay. Well, that sounds good.
And plug. That's a problem with plugging these virtual events, Rick. You've got to mention the websites, and they're all so long.
21st century, Dave. You know? It's what you got.
I hate coming into the modern era.
You got to speak in hashtags, you know? That's it. that's all I'm saying. Or that little circle A, you know? Man, I'm just, well, Bill Newell's helping me with it, of course. But the social media thing, like when we do a news story, we try to, I'm trying to, you know, create traffic. And so you've got to do the Twitter thing. And holy genie, what an adventure that is, you know? Jeez.
Oh.
Man.
It's you know, next year it'll be something else, and next year it'll be something else. And I teach media, and you get to you teach mass media, and you've got, you know, well, the printing press, you know, the printing press created, and then hundreds of years later.
Well, how about the Rosetta? Wait a minute, you got to go back. We go back to the Rosetta Stone. What do you mean the printing press? Come on.
But it's interesting because if you follow it from, let's say, I don't know, 2011 on. That's where you see all of a sudden it's the advent of social media, and I think social media's got some great things about it, but boy, this technology is going so fast right now. Like medicine, the communication technology is, there's always a new platform, there's always a new use for it, there's always a new user group, and it pretty much seems like the pattern is as soon as the parents figure out how to use a platform, the kids are onto something.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's their secret language. You know it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
David, in general, as we wrap this thing up here, are you beginning to investigate openings, real openings this summer, live openings where people can go? Or because I just noticed that I think it's the Shell and Lou. They're going to try to open up in September. I think that's their target. I'll be talking with Tony Beadle on Monday. Have you started that yet? Have you started to look forward to, planning that?
I've had conversations, and I think for a lot of theaters, they'll go with comedy before the we'll see music because mm-hmm. of at least singing. Mm-hmm. At least before you see singing, I've heard August from some theaters,
mm-hmm.
but I'm a little surprised. I thought once it was announced that we were going to open and we're going to have half houses and things like that, that there would be more activity. To be quite honest, I thought there would be more places that would say we're going to do, but I think maybe some of the venues feel like they want to be cautious. They have to pay for the staffing and everything else, and you know there's a surprising amount of staff that works at theaters, and I think that they're going to be appropriate. I think most are going to be appropriately cautious. I think North Shore Music Theater, I think they're looking at September as well, and I think a lot of groups are. I think a lot of groups are, but I've talked to a few others, and they're looking at August. I deal with the MMAS Theater in Mansfield, and they're talking about maybe opening up. We did outdoor shows there last year. We're talking about doing outdoor shows again this year. I know Giggles is opening up.
Mm-hmm.
I think they might be open now. They're under the tent. They've got a socially distanced show under a tent. They did it last year. So it'll be interesting to see what people do. You know, I think one trend that most of us have seen has been that the virtual things are fewer and fewer people are watching. Fewer and fewer people are tuning in and watching virtual events and virtual entertainment. Just because they can go to Netflix, because they can go to Amazon Prime, because they can do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've got some sports they can watch. And it's just it'll be interesting to see who wants to come out, even when we're quote-unquote safe. You know, my mom got her second vaccination shots, and I'm still picking up her groceries today.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we're fine with that. We're fine for keeping her away. We don't want to.
Yeah.
You know, we'll wait until more people have their vaccination, just not take the chance.
Right. I think I wouldn't have said this before, but even if things don't open up fully till September, that doesn't seem so far away from me now after what we've been through. I'm anxious, like everybody else, to get out to shows and to concerts and to restaurants and things like that. But considering the impact of what's happened, you know, being a little more patient, especially since I've gotten the vaccination, you know, September doesn't seem that far away anymore.
Right. Well, you know, I think what's going to be interesting is going to be to see whether or not this is spring break for a lot of schools. And,
right.
And, it'll be interesting to see if there's a big bounce after spring break. I actually looked for a while, and I didn't see anything, but I wondered whether or not there was a bounce. They were predicting there would be a bounce after the Super Bowl. I don't know if there was or there wasn't. You know, I looked. And I didn't see.
That might be the plateau, you know? Instead of having a spike, it just plateaued. It didn't, because remember, it was on a downward trend. So maybe that,
right.
You know, maybe that's the plateau, and maybe that's not a bad thing where it didn't spike.
Well, you would think that there would have been. I mean, look at the way things are in Tampa. Look at all those scenes that we saw from Tampa. You would have thought that there was going to be a spike. There'd be a spike there, but
right.
Hopefully we won't see it. Hopefully we won't see a spike from spring break. Hopefully we won't see a spike in the early summer. I know that I was at a restaurant and on Friday, and I was off in a corner all by myself, and the mask and the booth and the whole thing. And there were a lot of younger people, and they knew each other,
yep,
and they
yep.
had masks off, and they were going from table to table, and it made me a little uncomfortable. Even though I wasn't near them, I'll probably think twice about going to that restaurant.
Oh yeah, we've experienced the same thing, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm knocking on wood here as I say this. I haven't had a cold, a sniffle, the flu, or anything since I've been wearing the mask. So I don't know if I'm going to keep wearing it or not.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. Oh, I think this is the I don't know if you and I have talked about this. I think we're going to see next year, next winter, a lot of people just wear that mask in place of a scarf.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah. That's what
that's nice.
Yeah.
and they can say, well, I don't want to catch the flu. I just don't want to catch the flu. It's nothing. But really, they're wearing it to keep their nose warm while they're outside.
All right, David, we'll do it again soon. That's David Rattigan, the owner of Scamp Comedy Productions, and, of course, he is an educator here on the North Shore. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore. This has been Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore. Brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, by the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. Connect with Connections by emailing msonewsports@gmail.com.